from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. We are fully into December, making our way towards 2022. Will things get any different? I don't know. I just don't know. I kind of have quit wondering if anything's going to change. But I am cautiously optimistic and hopeful for a great new year. And hopefully we'll have a good Christmas season, Hanukkah, and all the other great holidays that go on at this time. And as is everyone else, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody. And we take this very seriously with our friends in Oxford, Michigan, because of the tragedy and everything else. Sheriff Michael Broussard, Bouchard has been on this show before. A great guy. Great guy. And was, you know, it's sad when these guys are put in that position. And there's not any judgment being cast at this point from us here at the show either. We don't know what kind of life that young man had at home. So we just hope that that things are resolved fairly and honestly, and that this family's find some sort of solace through this very, very senseless tragedy that has gone on. Would like to thank our friends who are very responsible and in the same boat we are at Conquest Sense for joining us here on the show, and also our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. I know it's an odd pairing to put together, but if you knew how much goes into the safety and management of firearms with our friends at Not Just Guns and other friends that we have outside of the show, you would truly understand. And safety is definitely our topic this morning because of a Facebook post that my good friend Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing put out. Lance, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm cold. I'm ready for spring.
That's a sign of age, buddy. I'm going to say I am with you. I am so with you on that.
I wish we could go from November right to April.
Yeah, you know, I'm at that age too, man. But you know, we have these April-like temperatures going on in December. We have more coming. And you know what? A lot of people haven't put the boat away yet, but sadly, they put their common sense away.
Well, you know, not putting your boat away is a good thing. We have some great fishing, and you know, last couple of years, if they taught us anything, it's, you know, we need to be ready to have that boat ready to go. You know, sometimes even into January and start, you know, mid to late February again, getting back with a little bit of ice we have. So, you know, having the boat ready to go is definitely a good idea. But dang it, guys, you know, safety becomes so much more important. The colder the air is, the colder the water is. You know, a small little mistake, it isn't a big deal in the summertime. That, you know, maybe a little leak or maybe a little hole, maybe the bilge pump isn't quite working as good as it should, and your feet, you know, your tennis shoes get a little wet when it's, you know, 85 degrees outside. That can be turned catastrophic in November, December, January, you know, February, March. So we've got to really be cognizant of not only our equipment, is our equipment really ready to go in cold weather? You know, can we count on our motor starting? Are our batteries fully charged? Or, you know, are we, you know, the batteries are getting kind of low on the trolling motor, but yeah, I'll replace them in the spring. Oh, one more trip this December. You can't do that. Your stuff has to be A1, prime grade, ready to go, no accidents, no mistakes. Everything you can control needs to be controlled, and you've got to dress properly and have the right safety equipment when you get on the water this time of year.
Lance Valentine, Teaching Fishing, joining us here on Wild Michigan. Lance, let's take into consideration also that metal, that wood, that rubber reacts differently in the cold versus the swelling temperatures of summertime. We have colder where you have this contraction. Some things contract, but with water it expands. But, you know, it's not going to be the same when you get your boat out and it's been in the cold, you know, sub-freezing temperatures.
No, so you take an aluminum boat, like my Polar Craft, not counting the drain plug, which obviously you hopefully put in. but there are five open access holes in the back of my boat. Live well drains, live well intakes. Those are pieces of plastic, silicone to aluminum. Well, you put that thing in 33 degree water, you tow it down the road in 34, 35, 38 degree weather. It's been sitting outside in the driveway all winter. Yesterday it was 18 degrees outside. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, you take that boat, you pull it down the road where it's close to freezing, you drop it in water that's 34 degrees. That seal may not be 100% as good as it is when it's 85 degrees outside. So there may be some water coming in. There may be some issues. Remember, your drain plug is, you turn that plug or you push that handle up, that expands rubber. Well, if that rubber has been used for 2, 3, 4 years, that rubber starts to not expand as much. It doesn't seal as good. The seal that's on the outside of your drain hole that plug seals up. There's actually a little collar there. That plug's a year too old, and again, it's 35 degrees outside. That may not seal completely. This means there's probably water coming into your boat in the wintertime or cold water that does not come in your boat in the summertime, which means your bilge pumps have to be working. Make sure that they aren't frozen up. When you get on the water at the boat ramp, sit for a minute, turn your bilge pumps on, make sure that they're actually getting water, make sure they're not iced up from sitting for 2 or 3 weeks, they actually can pump water. Get all that stuff done at the ramp. Taking care of your batteries, again, is a huge one in the wintertime, mm-hmm. right? Take care of that. But understand that your boat's going to act differently. Someone's out there it takes me 24 pulls to get my motor started, and then it starts right. Well, that's okay, again, when it's June and July, and there's 5,000 people on the water, and it's 85 degrees outside. That's a boat that can't go on the water in November, December. You've got to know your equipment. Have your stuff ready to go. It's just so frustrating. The incident we had last week, I don't think people realize, I read those incidents and my stomach just turns. I sit in my office and my stomach just absolutely turns that, number one, this happens. Number two, it could have been much worse. And number three, 99% of it could be prevented, and guys just don't take the time to be ready to boat and be safe most of the year. They definitely don't take enough time and think about it to be safe in really, really cold water.
Lance Valentine joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. And Lance, real quickly, if you could, just kind of describe the incident that took place out on Lake Erie. Because, we can talk about the safety, but, unless you have something to go with it, people are going to go, these guys are just talking.
Yeah, so it sounds like a grandfather took a grandkid and one of the grandkid's friends out. Again, I don't know 100% the details. I'm getting the story from a couple different people, but it sounds like there was an issue with either a leak or a bilge pump that didn't work. Water came in the boat. They tried to bail it. They couldn't get the water out fast enough. The boat actually sank. One of our Teach and Fishing Anglers Club members actually rescued the guys. They had no life jackets on. They were wearing tennis shoes, sweatpants, sweatshirts. They had no foul weather gear on. I had heard from multiple sources that a bag with life jackets had washed up or had been recovered, and the life jackets were still in the plastic coating from the dealer. And again, those crappy, $9 orange life jackets with one strap, they're good, but they're not going to save you. A lot of things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong fast, and thank goodness that somebody was right close and got them out of the water in a hurry, or they would have been dead. No life jackets, no PFDs, no way to swim, the wrong clothing that's going to get soaked in the water and knock you down. According to some other friends that had come in just after that, Lake Erie had started to kind of kick up a little bit and got a little rough. Some guys were coming out the water in big boats. This was not a big boat. I don't know, it was like a 16 and a half, 17, yeah. 17 and a half foot, Sylvan with a smaller motor that just wasn't ready for that kind of weather. And unfortunately, we had people in the water that could have died. Unfortunately, they did not.
Well, fortunately, we're here to talk about it here on Wild Michigan. Lance Valentine going to join us again. And for lack of a better term, George Costanza said it best, folks. Shrinkage. Got more coming your way.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here and very happy to be brought to you by United Deer Farmers of Michigan. You can find the UDOFM on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast there as well because they are making it possible for you to listen. Now, I'm going to get back to my good friend Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing joining us here. And Teaching Safety is what we've been talking a little bit about this morning because Great Lakes, Lance, and I need not even bring this up, but maybe you're new to the area, whatever. These are the largest bodies of fresh water in the world.
Yep.
20% of the Earth's above ground fresh water, and they are like small oceans. And despite how deep they are to us, they can turn over in a heartbeat, especially around the wintertime, November, December.
Yep.
When we get a storm coming in that, look, we're going to have these warmer than normal temperatures coming up through December. There's going to be people out there fishing. But the circumstances are always quite different. The wind's going to be a different direction.
Yeah.
The waves are going to come up very differently. And, man, again, I know we're beating this safety thing, at least to us, into the ground, but apparently we're not.
Well, yeah, if we were doing a good enough job, that was my post on Facebook, and sometimes I feel like, why even bother, right? Because I even making a difference. You've known me for a long time. We've been talking about this for 25 years. Everybody that steps into one of my charter boats before we unhook the lines puts on a PFD, an inflatable PFD, and they don't come off until we hook the lines at the end of the trip. If you're uncomfortable wearing one, you don't want to wear one, well, you can sit right here. We'll be back to get you in 5 hours. I don't allow that. Accidents happen. I've been on boats where accidents happen very quickly. I've been on boats where people have gone over. I've been on boats where situations happen, all of a sudden the motors tangle up and you can't move, and something happens that you're not expecting. They're called accidents for a reason. This idea of, well, I got a life jacket and the search department right there, I can get it. Well, if you're in the water and the boat's upside down, or if there's a leak, or something happens to you and you happen to fall over while you're fishing, or you're reaching over to net a fish and you go in, by the time you get that life jacket out of the compartment, here's what I will tell you, because I tried this 2 years ago. We had a little incident. There's no way you're putting a life jacket on when you're in the water.
Mm-mm.
Not going to happen. You are not putting it on when you're in the water. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. You're going down trying to hold yourself up. The life jacket is trying to hold you up. You're trying to put it on. Your body is sinking. The life jacket's going to the surface. There's no way you're going to get it on when you're in the water. Put the damn thing on before you leave the dock. Go fish and take it off and you get back. That's number one. Number two, there's no reason in 2021 going into 2022 that you don't have a way to watch the weather. Because I'll tell you, here's what I think happened to these guys. The weather built. By the time the weather got to them, it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the weather gets you on the Great Lakes, you're a half hour behind being ready. When you're in it and go, holy crap, it's getting rough, you're a half hour too late. There's no reason with today's phones, today's phone apps, today's weather layovers that go on top of your GPS with a good marine radio, even a handheld, a $50 handheld marine radio. There's no reason for you to not know that a storm is coming, wind is going to start to build, waves are going to start to build, and you need to be headed towards shore before that happens. There's no reason to not know that. We get a lot of guys caught in the Great Lakes with one more cast, one more pass mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, they're coming into the dock and their faces are white because they shouldn't have been out there for that one more pass. So just being ready. The biggest thing for me is the PFDs. I'm an inflatable guy. There is some issues. There have been some reported issues with inflatables below 40 degrees because the CO2 doesn't fully discharge completely.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Blow the jacket up, right? But every jacket has an air tube, so you can manually inflate it all the way up. But there are some really nice life jackets, PFDs, type 3 life jackets, three buckle jackets, that you can actually wear that are very comfortable. A friend of ours showed me one a couple weeks ago. We were on Lake Erie, and he had a Stearns vest that had a Ranger logo on it. But it was a Stearns vest, a typical three buckle type three that we think of. And he's a guy. He's not a small guy. He's got a little chub around him like I do. And I put that at Jack. I'm like, man, you don't even know you got this on. Mm-hmm. The inflatables, you definitely don't know you have on. But there are some life jackets available. So if you got $9.99 life jackets from Bass Pro, I can't wear this, it's uncomfortable. You got the wrong jacket, right? Pull $100 bill out of your pocket. Go to Bass Pro Shop. Go to West Marine this time of year. Find an inflatable or a regular life jacket that you can wear. Put the damn thing on when you leave the dock. Don't take it off till you get back. That will save a lot of people if we can just get them to do that.
Lance Valentine joining us here from Teaching Fishing. Lance, over the summer, my daughter, got out on a kayak and she was showing me pictures. I'm like, oh, I'm glad to see you got your life vest on, but why isn't it buckled up?
Yep.
I said, you go over, you hit your head, you may slip out of that. You don't know. She's like, gee, sorry, Dad, I didn't really think about it. I'm like, well, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just letting you know that with this industry I am, that's the first thing I saw.
Yep.
Not that you were on a kayak. Yeah. The first thing I saw, that your PFD was not buckled up. Okay?
It's funny how my eyes go to that. So I'm like, oh, look at that, PFDs. The other thing, too, is, and again, I know there's a lot of people who aren't avid fishermen or ang. I get all that, right? So the two kids that went in this last incident, they had tennis shoes, sweatpants, and sweatshirts on. Now, that's pretty typical teenage stuff, right? I put a couple T-shirts on, I put a sweatshirt on. I still got to kind of look cool. But, everybody that I've talked to about survival and how to dress properly, and we actually do a seminar on this every year at Teaching Fishing, the first thing they tell me, first rule from anybody that spent any time outside and tried to stay warm or survive is that cotton kills. You don't want cotton anything on anywhere if you're going to be outside in the cold, especially if you're going to be anywhere close to water. Cotton is a killer fabric. You don't want it. The mother of one of the kids was nice enough to respond to my Facebook post. She said, well, the kids had snow pants. Well, again, snow pants aren't waterproof rain gear. You put a pair of snow pants on, you end up in the water. You basically have cotton and now some kind of cotton batting inside to keep you, semi-warm, and now that's soaked. You need the proper rain gear. You need the proper under stuff. You need a good wicking layer. You need a good insulating layer. Fleece is awesome. You need a good set of rain gear on the outside. And I wear my rain gear probably 10 times more when it's not raining than I do when it is raining. Mm-hmm. I very rarely fish without rain gear on. Just because it's that last layer to cut the wind, it's nice to keep. I carry three different weights of rain gear. It's nice to keep the fish slime off your pants. I always have an outer layer on. Mm-hmm. So you've got to think about staying warm, dressing properly. You can't look at the weather at the airport and go, oh, it's going to be 42 degrees today, and dress like that. It's going to be on the water next week because the water is going to be 36 degrees. Yeah. The wind's going to blow a little bit. The wind chill is going to be, negative 20, even though it's 45 degrees at the airport. Mm-hmm. And you're dressed for a day of cold golf. That's not how it works. Make sure that you're ready for the conditions that you could be faced with. Dress for those, and you can adjust from there.
All right, Lance Valentine, appreciate you joining us. A real quick shout out to Mustang PFDs too. I know when I worked the Bass Pro, Bassmaster Classic, they were showing me one that automatically inflates at 4 inches of water when you go under. So bump your head, you're a little safer. So Lance, appreciate you as always, man. Teaching Fishing, all the links are at our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Thanks to Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing. Teaching a little safety, especially in these colder months, colder It's December. We've had a weird December already with the snow and the warm, the snow and the warm. We're going to have the warm again, so people are going to go back out fishing. But please be safe. Have your PFDs on and ready and everything else checked on your boat. And expect the unexpected when it comes to the mechanics of your boat working in colder water. Because that water temperature is now colder, even though the air temp may be about 10, 15 degrees warmer. So please use your head out there when you're going back out on these big waters and even on the inland stuff. I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns for bringing you Wild Michigan right now. A voice we've not heard in a while, but I'm so glad to even hear it. My good friend Bill Parker, the editor of Michigan Outdoor News, joins us. How are you, Bill?
I'm glad wonderful. To see
that is what I want to hear.
I'm doing wonderful, Durant. Thanks. Yep.
It's been a year, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But really, there's one season that I look forward to every new year, and it's not hunting, it's not fishing, it's show season. It's when we get to go out, press the flesh, look at the vendors, listen to seminars, see the people, the old road dogs that we haven't seen in a while. And last year was a tough year for show season. This year looks like we have a better chance at it.
Yes, absolutely. Thank goodness, because last year was rough. All the shows got canceled across the country, basically. I don't know that there were shows held anywhere. There may have been, but certainly, unfortunately, we didn't have any here in Michigan, but we're back on track this year, starting right off in the first part of January. January 6th through 9th is the Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, and we couldn't be more excited to get that show up and running and get back to the life as normal in that exciting show season. Like you said, a lot of people really look forward to those shows and enjoy them quite a bit, so we're really glad to be able to get back at it this year.
You know, it's no matter what the weather is, whether it's been like a good warm winter or a freezing, actually it's better when it's so cold you can't even see across the street, because that's when everybody comes out anyway. I mean, there
right,
are more
exactly.
trucks in that parking lot than Ford or Chevy could ever produce in a year. And,
right.
And it's just so cool to see.
Yeah, it is, and it's a gathering time. Everybody gets together, like you said. You see people you haven't seen in a while, and everybody's talking hunting and fishing and trapping and outdoors and telling stories of their past seasons. And, in addition to, obviously, all of the features and seminar speakers and stuff that are part of the show, but you also run into so many people and friends and acquaintances and kind of renew those relationships again at those shows. So it's a popular thing for everybody for a variety of reasons.
I know Showspan took a hit last year with these shows, with the pandemic and not being able to let people out or get out to these shows. We're still dealing with the pandemic, and we're still dealing with some issues of repercussions from gatherings to a degree, but people are still, we're a free nation. We don't like being locked down, and that's why I'm so happy to see show season coming.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll be following all the mandates and laws that are required of us at the, respective facilities. And there are, plenty of sanitation stations throughout the facilities. People can keep their hands clean and just do some little precautions that probably over the years we forgot about and didn't worry about so much. But all in all, our patrons and our exhibitors and stuff, we want them to be safe and to feel safe. So we're going to do, everything we can to keep everybody happy and have enjoyable shows and get back to business as usual than last year.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the Ultimate Fishing Show, Detroit in Novi, a Suburban Collection Showplace, that is the big kickoff to the season. And that's where, a lot of this stuff is going to be showcased for the first time, or we go back to book maybe a trip or two.
Yes, absolutely, and it does. It comes quickly after the holidays. Like I say, it starts on January 6th. It runs Thursday through Sunday, the 6th through the 9th. It's the kickoff of the season for Showspan and basically for outdoor shows across the state. And we've got all the typical things that that people can expect to see when they go to the fishing show. We've got Lake Ultimate, the Hog Trough, Ice Fishing Village, and a shanty truckload sale, so there'll be plenty of stuff for the ice fishermen. Years ago, we didn't have as much ice fishing equipment, and in the last 6 or 7 years, we've really focused on that. So there'll be a lot of that, you know, timely type of equipment that people can get and get out on the ice. It looks like maybe we're going to have a decent winter this year ice-wise. I know in southern Michigan, it's kind of iffy. We've had good years and bad years, mm-hmm. but everybody's hoping for a good ice fishing season this year, and people will be able to get out and have some fun.
Now, we've got Outdoorama coming up as well. That's a big one. And, you know, if we can follow through with Big Buck Night, I think between last year and this year, we're going to see some serious trophies coming through.
Oh, I think so. There's been some really nice bucks taken this year. In fact, one that may be pushing for a new state record typical. A guy shot it in southern Michigan earlier this year, and he doesn't want to talk about it until the season's all over with. So we're following that at Outdoor News, and we'll have that story as soon as he's willing to talk about it and put some pictures. I did see a couple of pictures that scored, I think, like 206.
Wow.
Green score, and the state record is, I think, 196 or 198. So I don't think that buck's going to shrink that much. So we may definitely have a new state record typical this year, but that yet to be determined. Obviously, it hasn't been officially scored. That was a rough green score, but we'll see. But regardless of what it ends up, it was a beautiful buck. What a monster.
That's awesome. And what are the dates for Outdoorama?
Outdoorama is February 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Awesome. And, of course, yep. The Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids, I know we've already posted that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan, because that was the first thing I got notice of. And that's the big one, too, because that's when we can look out on the Grand, watch people steelheading, and enjoy the beautiful scenery of the DeVos Hall, DeVos Place there in Grand Rapids.
That's our biggest show at Showspan, and that show is March 10th through the 13th at DeVos Place right downtown in Grand Rapids, and that show has everything. We've got, hunting and fishing and tons of exhibits, and again, Lake Ultimate will be there. We'll have Big Buck West will take place on Thursday night, and the Hog Trough, and the Lumberjacks are coming back this year to Outdoorama and the Ultimate Sports Show, and that's always an exciting event for people to watch. They have contests between each other, and they make it very entertaining, and they're very good entertainers, so that's always fun to watch that show. But yeah, both shows are gearing up. We're still signing some of the talent to come to those shows. Everything, of course, is a little bit slower getting finalized this year just because of the situation, and everybody had plans or wasn't sure what they were going to do, but we're working on it really hard. Ben and Henry are working their tails off, getting everybody lined up, and we're looking forward to some great shows this year.
Yeah, I mean, and they're always great shows. I mean, every last one of them I've been to numerous times, and, you know, each one of them holds something super special for me personally that I like. Of course, with the Grand Rapids show, the 10th through the 13th, which is, it's odd because it's a little earlier than normally. It's around St. Patrick's weekend, but we have the 10th through the 13th. The taxidermy exhibit upstairs is always fantastic.
Yes, it surely is. That's their state championships, actually, so you get some of the best of the best. And the display, it takes up the whole foyer upstairs. There's literally hundreds of exhibits from different taxidermists from across the state, and they're producing their very best mounts. And some of the stuff up there is just phenomenal. You've seen it. You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
They have just outstanding mounts. It's not just, you know, the mounts that you see on your living room wall. These things really have a lot of creativity put into them, and it's really an event within an event, if you will, just to see that. Some people come through those front doors and head right to the elevator and go upstairs. They want to see those mounts first because they really are phenomenal.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. More coming your way with Michigan Outdoor News editor Bill Parker on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Up Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here and very thankful for each and every one of you that have decided to take a minute or two to listen to the show over the past 15 years. And it's been a fun ride. And hopefully we can continue this ride into the future, man. There's a lot more to talk about. Always something new to talk about in the outdoors here. And thanks to our good friend Doug and Karen Roberts at Conquest Sense for being a part of this show for as long as they have. Practically, well, I would say every bit of the 15 years that we've been doing it, as our good friend Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News, who joins us right now from his offices. Bill, I alluded to the fact that just having you on to talk to you is kind of a blessing, not only to us but to you. And when you coughed on air, or when you coughed off air a second ago, I winced in pain for you.
Well, fortunately, that kind of pain has pretty much subsided now.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Feeling pretty good.
Man, you've had. And I don't know how difficult this will be to talk. I apologize for throwing this on you, but Lance and I were talking about boating safety earlier today, about how there was a grandfather, grandson, and one of the grandson's friends that were out fishing on Lake Erie. Well, they had some mechanical issues. The boat started to sink, and had it not been for another group of anglers out there, they may have perished because they're ill-equipped, not dressed properly. The PFDs were in a bag they found floating somewhere. So, it was a little bit of prevention could have gone a long way in that instance. But some things cannot always be avoided. Mm-hmm. You know, and you found that out. Was it last year? Because I know you've been rehabbing quite a bit, because you suffered a pretty large amount of injuries from a major fall.
Yeah, I sure did. It was actually March 13th.
Okay,
we were myself, my brother, and a good friend that we all hunt together were taking stands down. Ironically, we were being safe. We were taking all our stands down and look them over, make sure nothing was rusted or worn or no cables were stretched and things like that. And we do it every year. We take them down. Usually we take them down a little sooner, but this year we were a little bit behind. And I had climbed into a hang-on stand, and we have safety straps in each stand and hoist ropes in each stand, and we take those down and look them over as well. And I had tied the hoist rope onto the stand so I could lower it down to my buddy Charlie waiting below. And I took the safety strap off and dropped that down, climbed onto the ladder and went to undo the ratchet straps on the stand. And the one at the top, we put one right under the seat and one right on the bottom by the platform, ratchet straps to anchor him to the tree real solid. And the one at the top was tied in a knot. The tag end was knotted up, and I couldn't get it loose. So I climbed back into the stand, and that's where I made my mistake. And I know a lot of us do this. Well, you know, I forgot my fanny pack, so I'm going to climb up there real quick and grab it and come down. And you're not going to strap in for something like that, because
sure,
you're only going to be in the stand for a couple of seconds. And that was my mindset. I'm just going to get in the stand, undo the knot, get back on the ladder, and open the straps up. Well, I was actually on my knees in the stand facing the tree, got the knot untied, and I don't honestly know exactly what happened, Duran, but the next thing I knew, I was falling, and I fell 20 feet and hit the ground. I hit my left shoulder first, and then my hips came down, and I just destroyed my shoulder. I broke the femur off at the ball, and the ball exploded in the socket. I tore all my muscles and tendons, and the surgeon actually said it's the worst he's ever seen. He said, I've never seen anything like this, and he said that on one of my appointments to a couple of students working with him, and he said, I've never seen anything like this. I'm thinking, oh boy, that's not what I wanted
to
hear.
No, especially with students present.
Yeah, but he spent 7 hours, not seven, 5 hours putting everything back together in my shoulder. I also had several breaks in my pelvis and broke 4 ribs and collapsed a lung, and all that stuff healed up great. But the shoulder is still has a ways to go. I've still got limited use, and I'm doing physical therapy 4 days a week, a couple hours each day, and they're working me really hard and working good, and we're making progress. I can still, you know, see the progress. It's very slow, which they told me it's going to be a marathon. It's not a race. You're mm-hmm. the tortoise, not the hare.
Right,
I've heard all those, and they're right. It's been a long go, and I've still got a long way to go, but I just count my blessings every day that it could have been so much worse, you know, had I landed on my head or my neck or my back. And I actually, when I went, I was headed down backwards head first, and I hit a couple of branches on the way down, and it kind of righted me up. And I, you know, again, I look at that as a blessing in disguise, because sure, it made me land in a position that wasn't as dire as it could have been. You know, if I landed head first or something, boy, we might not be having this conversation. And it was just that, Duran, it was just that one lapse. Had I been smart and strapped myself in any time I was on that stand, I probably would have hung to the tree and maybe not had as bad of a result. But, you know, it's so easy to, well, I'm just going to do this for a second.
Yeah, no,
And I learned my lesson the hard way that, boy, like the safety people say, you know, anytime you're off the ground, have yourself strapped in, have yourself tied off. And it really hit home this year, and I learned the hard way that they're not just saying that for fun. It really makes mm-hmm. sense, and it's something that we should all pay a little bit more attention to, because, and we get complacent over time too. You know, I've been up in this stand 100 times. It's safe. I'm good. No problems. And all it takes is one little mishap, and boy, the consequences can just be very dire.
You know, and again, maybe there is a reason that you're here, is to talk about this. You know, I mean, there's so many people that you've reached and touched because of all the people that you have reached and touched throughout the course of your career and your life, you know, and you've been chosen for this message to get out. You know, you can look at it philosophically, you can look at it any way you want, but sure, you're here. You know, and we have this opportunity mm-hmm. to talk to you about it, and maybe, again, like we talked with Lance, to maybe make someone think just for that split second more, you know. And again, man, I am so happy that we get to have this conversation with you. And what's even more coincidental, if you will, the ambulance, the proximity of the EMTs to you at that time.
Yeah, it was, again, I just count my blessings, Duran. The ambulance was there in like 5 minutes, literally. My brother was also out with us, and he was standing next to me, and Charlie went out to the road to wait for the ambulance. And I remember him going, "Bill, the ambulance is here already. It's only been 5 minutes." And I'm thinking, great, hallelujah.
Yay!
Yeah, but apparently there was some sort of a training session taking place in Lansing, and I was in the Lapeer area, which is, you know, quite a distance east of there, 50, 60 miles anyway. Mm-hmm. And these paramedics and medics were coming home from that training session. They were on the highway closest to the farm I was at when they got the call, and they said they got right off at the exit. They didn't even have to turn around or anything. They were right there when they got the call and breezed into the farm, and it was short of a miracle that they got there so fast. And at the time, I didn't know it, but I had a collapsed lung, and by the time they got me loaded up and to the hospital, I was having some real severe pain in the upper part of my chest, and the doctor explained to me that was the air and the fluids from your lung building mm-hmm. up in your chest cavity, and then they had to put a chest tube in to drain all that stuff out, and I had that in for 4 days.
Oh.
And that was, Duran, that's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Yeah,
that was just grueling. Oh,
I've heard that. I've
said words I didn't even know I knew.
It's like that scene
doctor.
Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
The doctor said, I knew I was in trouble, because the doctor said this is going to hurt like hell. And usually the doctor will say this is going to sting a little bit and it hurts really
right.
bad. And when he told me this is going to hurt that bad, I thought, oh boy, this is not good. This is going to hurt. And it did. But thank goodness that they did it, you know, because it kept me around. And that healed up great. The pelvis breaks healed up. The ribs healed up. Everything healed up really well. And physical therapists have all been fantastic. And we're on the mend. I miss turkey season, and I miss fishing all summer, but fortunately I was able to get out and bow hunt with a crossbow and a bipod, because I couldn't shoot my compound,
sure.
and I couldn't cock a crossbow, so I got one with a crank on it, and was able to get out and do some bow hunting, and got lucky and shot a nice 8-point on October 2nd, so I feel like I've come full circle. I'm back in the saddle again, so that was just fantastic.
Well, that's awesome to hear, man, and we're so happy to have you here, and we appreciate you sharing that story with us, as difficult as I'm sure it was, and we're looking forward to seeing you out in show season at some point in time.
Yes, January, I'll be there.
January 6th to the 9th, the Ultimate Fishing Show at the Suburban Collection Showplace. 24th through 27th for Outdoor Rama at the same location. And then the 10th through the 13th at DeVos Place for the Ultimate Sports Show. Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Durant. Couldn't be more excited about the show's getting started, and thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense, not just guns, United Deer Farmers of Michigan.